A court in Nairobi, Kenya, is considering a criminal case against four police officers who were accused of the wrongful arrest and torture of David Makara and Gore. This case dates back to a Sunday afternoon in December of 2002. Reportedly, Kenyan police were looking for a bribe when they rounded up Mr. Ngure, threw him into the back of a police car, and later shot him. David Ngure's wounds were so severe, his right arm had to be amputated below the elbow. He was eventually charged with robbery with violence. That's a capital offense in Kenya. The problem was that David Ngure was in police custody at the hospital at the time the alleged crime was supposed to have occurred. A Christian group, International Justice Mission, won Mr. Ngure's release. They are now helping him to press charges against the police officers who participated in his arrest and shooting. David Ngure joined us in our studio. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We also want to introduce the founder and lead attorney of International Justice Mission, Gary Haugen. Thank you very much for being with us, too.
Great to be with you.
Mr. Ngure, just if you don't mind, if you could take us back to that day 2 years ago, December 2002.
I had gone to borrow a video cassette. Then I was arrested in a video store, and I was taken into a police vehicle.
Did they say we're arresting you for something?
No, they didn't tell me why they were arresting me. And on reaching the police station, I was escorted by the officer up to the forefront of the vehicle, and he nudged me to go, pushed me to go. And I went, and that's when they started shooting at me. I fell some few meters away from where the shooting started, and that's when I looked at my hand and I saw it hanging, and I was bleeding profusely.
A bullet had apparently struck you in the arm.
Yeah. I went to the hospital, and the police came for me in the hospital, and they demanded to take me out of hospital, and the hospital staff restrained the police, and my hand was amputated on the same day.
Mr. Ngure, this is perhaps going to sound naive, but when you live in a town in central Kenya and the police do something like this, is it a possibility for you to in any way register your disapproval in the fact that you've been wronged?
I could not complain to anybody, because the people I could have complained to are the police, and it is the police who had shot me. That's when IJM came into the case. They intervened.
Gary Haugen, let turn to you, the founder and lead attorney of International Justice Mission. How did you find out about this case?
Well, IJM has an office there in Nairobi. Mm-hmm. It's staffed entirely by Kenyans, and so it was the Kenyan staff that actually did all the work on this case. So it was word of mouth in the community that relayed it to our attorney, and then he went to see David in the hospital.
And what do you do?
I began to hear about this when I actually received the intervention report, which our lawyers prepare, which is a very detailed timeline of what exactly happened. We can gather all those facts and then take it up to the top of the chain of command, and sometimes outside of the local corruption or apathy that may exist, and then allow that chain of command to work its own authority to begin to bring justice.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ngure, as I understand it, you testified against these officers in October.
I did testify.
Did you see them? Were they there in court?
Yeah, the four of them were in court.
What was that like?
They have disfigured me. They have made me to be in the category of disabled people. And I felt good that they will feel the wrath of law for the offense they have committed.
Did it make you scared to see them?
Yeah, in fact, I felt scared in a way. But the greatness I was feeling superseded the fear I had.
You're going back to Kenya at some point.
Yeah, I'll be going back to Kenya on Sunday.
When you testify against the police in a court in Kenya, do you feel safe about going home at night?
I don't feel so much safe. They shot me without any cause, and they may think of repeating it, maybe to have a revenge.
We hear about so much suffering and injustice around the world. What can a case like this, with all due regard to your loss, both Mr. Haugen and you, Mr. Ngure, do you think that this case can do to affect the quality of justice around the world?
The way we get information about injustice in the world is paralyzing rather than motivating. We'll hear some news or media piece about thousands of people or millions of people suffering in some way. You think, well, what could we possibly do? But what I think David's story introduces is the idea that, well, we may not be able to do everything, but could we not help David? And then what people also see is that something quite powerful happens when the perpetrators are brought to justice, because it begins to change the calculation in the community about what you can get away with. And right now, the police in his community are beginning to see the calculation change because they've seen these officers dismissed and now facing trial. And on top of that, they will start to see, oh, you can actually take on these forces of evil and you can actually prevail. And sometimes it's just this point of encouragement that begins to move the rest of us to action.
I am told, Mr. Ngure, that you would now like to be an attorney.
Yeah, I'm now studying law in a Kenyan institution. I want to be an advocate should such an occurrence happen again. The charges were so grave, and I could not have afforded an advocate. I saw this being a miracle, and I was so much overjoyed when I was released. I saw my life being restored back.
David Mukar Ngure in our studios, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Gary Haugen, who's head of the International Justice Mission and author of the book, Terrify No More. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.